The next case this morning is number 043337, George against the Attorney General. Mr. Ganella.
Good morning. May it please the court.
Mr. Ganella, could you clarify something for me? It looks to me like our clerk's office inadvertently changed your client's name. Is his surname Vasile or is his surname Gheorghe?
His surname is Gheorghe.
Oh, okay, because the immigration judge calls him Gheorghe Vasile, and so does the board. So there's at least an inconsistency.
I believe his surname is Gheorghe.
Okay.
Your Honors, there are essentially two issues in this case. The one issue raised by the petitioner in this matter is whether the board and the lower court correctly found that the petitioner was barred in his application for asylum by the one-year filing deadline. The government, if I'm not mistaken, does not address this issue in their brief. In fact, they raise a jurisdictional bar to the review of this court. So if it pleases the court, I would first address the issue of the jurisdictional bar that the government raises.
Yeah, I gather from the briefs that although Mr. Gheorghe's counseling and risk education classes didn't continue beyond February 2002, he was undergoing treatment for alcohol abuse through October 28th?
That goes to the issue raised in our appeal. If the court were to look at the record, specifically at pages 139 and 140, Mr. Gheorghe did submit documentary evidence that the treatment continued through October of 2002. The application being filed July of 2003, the court did not even address this issue. The court did not even consider that documentary evidence. The immigration court makes no reference to that documentation, which the court itself admitted into evidence.
So, in other words, just let me be clear. To the extent that the IJ found that the counseling or treatment ended in February 2002, the IJ was just wrong.
That would be my argument, of course.
Yeah.
And that's based on the record, the clear record here before this court. And that would certainly be my argument with regard to the issue raised in petitioner's brief.
But in any event, the one-year deadline had passed in August 2002. Is that correct?
The one-year deadline, if we look at the immigration court's opinion, the court based it on first from when the applicant first arrived in this country, and I suppose argued that if his treatment did end in February of 2002, his application was not filed until July of 2003, which does not meet the one-year deadline. However, again, we would submit that the evidence in this case shows that he was undergoing the treatment at least till October 2002, which would put the deadline to October 2003.
But that's all in the box of whether there are whether there's good cause to relieve someone from the one-year provision in the statute. And maybe you should go back to the jurisdictional bar, because even if you've got the best reason in the world, if we have no jurisdiction to review this issue, then the only question I would ask you is whether it's still possible, now that he seems to be married, for him to apply for adjustment of status or petition to reopen or anything like that.
Well, first, with regard to the jurisdictional issue, the government argues that the petitioner here is barred by Section 1158 of Title 8 of the United States Code. And specifically, the government refers to paragraph B3A, small a, capital B, subsection 3, which does limit jurisdiction with regard to paragraph 2 of that section. Paragraph 2 of that section speaks to safe third countries, is actually the title, and it speaks about removal to a third country. Section 1 is the grant of authority to the Attorney General and to aliens to apply for asylum. What I would point out again is this jurisdictional bar speaks to paragraph 2, not to paragraph 1. What in fact confers judicial review upon this court is section 1252 of the same title of the United States Code. And it does speak that general orders of removal by the immigration court and or the board are reviewable.
But this court, looking at the 1158A3 in Zaidi against Ashcroft, said that's sufficiently specific to say there's no jurisdiction. And that was about a time limit exception to asylum eligibility. So why, I mean, I'm concerned about why that wouldn't apply with equal force as a more specific thing that would modify our general jurisdiction to review that you just referred to.
Well, I think the court at Zaidi did not address Section 1252 as well, because if we go back to Section 1252 does grant a general scope of judicial review. However, then it goes on in paragraph 2 to specifically outline matters which are not subject to judicial review. And if we look at section paragraph 2, capital B, subsection 2, the court does state that any other decision of the Attorney General is not reviewable other than the granting relief under section 1151A, which we're back to 1151A in general, which specifically grants aliens the right to seek asylum. It does not speak to a safe third country or any other matter. The section 1252 specifically grants review of these cases. Section the subparagraph 3, the court did not address this in Zaidi. Paragraph 3 of 1158 refers only to paragraph 2, not to paragraph 1. It is the order of removal which the petitioner here is appealing. The order of removal and his authority to apply for asylum. Going back to, and it's there where we believe he's met the jurisdictional bar. The petitioner in his motion addressed this as well. I would also point the court, I would point the court to subsection of 1252, which grants judicial review specifically in cases under 1151A. That is the petition under which the section which petitioner is applying. Secondly, with regard to the issue raised by petitioner in this case, again, I would point out that the evidence submitted in the record, the documentary evidence which the immigration court specifically admitted, the documentation supports the fact that petitioner's treatment did not end until October 2002. Seeing that he filed his application in July of 2003, petitioner specifically met the 1 year filing deadline. The court has recognized cases of alcoholism, of depression, specifically these types of characteristics as a mental defect qualifying for exceptional circumstances in relieving the petitioner of his 1 year bar.
Could you give me one of those cases? I mean, what support is there for the notion that once the alcohol treatment ended, there's another full year in which to file an asylum application?
I don't believe I've found any case that says you have 1 year from the time that you end your treatment or the time that you are cured. I don't. The standard is, in fact, have you filed within a reasonable time after that? That reasonable term, I don't believe, has been specified as to 1 year or 6 months or 2 months. We know that I would analogize that the statute provides a 1 year filing deadline from the time one enters the country. I would therefore argue that at least 1 year after one has been raised of a mental defect or an extraordinary circumstance would provide a reasonable time limit. We, in fact, in this case, it was less than that. It was eight or nine months. I have reserved some time for rebuttal. Unless there's any other questions, I would reserve that time.
Thank you, Mr. Ganella. We'll hear now from Mr. Grimes.
May it please the court, James Grimes, the Attorney General. Judge Wood noted, I believe the outcome of this case is controlled by this court's decision in Zaidi, in which the court stated it was precluded from reviewing a determination under 1158A2. And I think petitioner has misread the statute. The statute at 1158A3 says the court shall have no jurisdiction to review a determination under A2. There are four subsections under A2. Two of which are implicated in this case, the timeliness and the extraordinary circumstances issue.
Of course, we still have jurisdiction to determine our own jurisdiction,
of course you do.
Don't we?
Yes, Your Honor. And so you would have to determine whether or not the immigration judge made it and the board made a determination under Section 1158A2. And if that is the case, then you would have to apply 1158A3. And that is, in fact, what happened in this case.
Let me just ask you, Mr. Jorge argues that he was in alcohol treatment through October of 2002. Is that consistent with your understanding as well?
Your Honor, I would invite your attention to page 139 of the record. 139 of the record, and if you turn there, that says that he completed counseling in February of 2002. The date that that document is signed is October, I believe, or maybe November of 2002. I suppose it's possible he still was going through treatment at that time, but the document specifically says that's when he completed it, and the immigration judge referred to that at page 73 of the record.
But would it change the result, in your view, if we assumed that that he was in treatment through the end of October 2002?
No, I don't believe it would. If you were to look to the regulation that the petitioner cites at page 5 of his brief, which is HCFR 1208.4A5, there the Attorney General is given a non-exhaustive list of things that might constitute extraordinary circumstances, and among those are an illness or a mental impairment. So long as the alien files the application within a reasonable time thereafter, and here the immigration
would you concede that alcoholism is an illness?
I believe the Attorney General could determine that it is an illness. In fact, it is an illness, and I believe the Attorney General, in an appropriate case through the board, the immigration judge could say that yes, alcoholism would be sufficient to excuse an untimely filing. But the immigration judge here said at page 73. Even assuming that it did prevent him from filing it, he didn't file within a reasonable time period. So the immigration judge applied the regulation.
But what is a reasonable time limit?
Well, I think that's something that's going to have to be determined on a case by case basis.
Would 9 months be a reasonable time limit?
Well, I don't believe so. My opinion, no, but I don't think the Attorney General has spoken whether 9 months would be. I think what petitioners really are arguing is an equitable tolling sort of argument that, the impairment is lifted, therefore I get an extra year. But I think even under an equitable tolling theory, you have to act with reasonable diligence. I don't believe that 7, 8, 9 months is acting with reasonable diligence. But in any event, because of the court's decision in Zaidi, and Section 1158A3, the court is precluded from reviewing that determination. And, Your Honor, I wanted to address the question you had asked about adjustment of status. And I don't believe that Mr. Gheorghe is eligible to adjust status, and the reason for that is he was given voluntary departure for 30 days in August of 2004 and warned of the consequences of not voluntarily departing. One of those consequences is ineligibility for adjustment of status.
Did he ever get a stay of that? We've had these issues about whether that in itself can be stayed to preserve the possibility of judicial review.
He sought a stay from this court on November 30th, so well after the 30 days had expired.
Okay,
I don't believe he specifically asked for a stay of voluntary departure. I know that is an issue.
The cases that I'm thinking of are those in which the request for the stay to preserve judicial review has occurred inside
yes,
the period
Honor.
Of time.
That's not the case here.
When it was still open. That's not the case here.
That's not the case here. And so he didn't comply with the voluntary departure order, so no, he's not eligible to adjust status. In any event, because this case is controlled by Zaidi, we ask that you dismiss the petition. And unless there are any further questions, this concludes the government's presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grimes. You have 1 minute, sir.
Unless there are any questions by the court, I believe we've addressed those issues.
I think so. Thank you, Mr. Ganella. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.